Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we are live on a weekend where lots of shows are canned. It's kind of like a radio wasteland. I try to listen to shows on the radio, some of my favorite shows, and sometimes I hear substitute hosts, and sometimes they're good, and sometimes they're so-so. And sometimes I hear shows where, you know, I'm thinking that I'm hearing the news, but they're talking about rioting is breaking out in Ferguson, Missouri. And I'm going, what, again? They're rioting? It's like, no, that was that was a show from November. So this show is live, and you can call us, 888-302-3684. I can't think of a place I'd rather be than right here behind this very microphone, because I get to share some important health information with you, and that is my mission statement. That's what I do, and that's how I roll. So I'll share with you some very nice comments that I got from one of our listeners, Kathy, who is representative of many listeners for whom this show really makes a difference. And our next newsletter will actually commemorate some of those nice comments that we received in 2014. It's a nice way to end the year. Dear Dr. Hoffman, I've enjoyed listening to you for over 10 years now, first on WR and now your programs on your website at drhoffman.com. The wealth of information that you provide has greatly enriched my life. You provide the latest and most up-to-date information about so many health issues. In addition, I always enjoy your take on recent news items. I do hope you continue your programs for years to come. I live in Pennsylvania and don't get to New York often, but because of your online programs, I can remain connected and informed. I also enjoy your newsletter. Thank you so much, Kathy, and I thank you, Kathy, for your kind comments, and I urge those of you who haven't yet discovered our podcasts to check them out in 2015. We actually put up a list of the top 10 podcasts of 2014, so you can binge listen to them during this quiet holiday period. You know, the time between Christmas and New Year's is, a lot of people shop, a lot of people take their gift cards to department stores, but there's a lot of downtime. People go to movies. And so perhaps in lieu of seeing the movie The Interview, you can get educated about health. Go to drhoffman.com and check out our top 10 podcasts of 2014. Binge listen to them. I'm binge watching the first couple of seasons of Downton Abbey this holiday season. I'm playing a little catch up before season 5 begins on TV. Maybe you can catch up on listening to Intelligent Medicine this year. All right. We'll take your phone calls. 888-302-3684. That's our number. And let's talk to Joe. Welcome.
Well, thank you.
Yep. Hi. How you
thank
doing?
You for taking my call. Like complainants, possible causes, and I'm not know of a cure, but there must be a treatment to mediate the.
Yeah, actually, we do have patients who have lichen planus. It's a very mysterious and difficult to treat skin condition. And where does it affect you? Does it affect you on the surface of your skin or in your mouth?
It's in the mouth and the cheeks, mm-hmm. The cheeks and side cheeks of the
okay,
mouth.
Okay, so sometimes we think it may be a reaction to dental materials, a reaction to silver fillings. Do you have a lot of silver fillings, or do you have a lot of replacement teeth?
No, I don't. I don't have fillings of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we actually think that sometimes it can be related to lack of essential fatty acids, lack of zinc. There is even a yeast connection suspected in lichen planus. The whitish spots that appear, they aren't really yeast plaque, but sometimes with antifungal therapy, these plaques that are sometimes, just appear, can disappear, and or they can become less painful. So some of the things that you can try, you can use high doses of anti-inflammatories, things like curcumin. You can use are they painful, by the way?
It comes and goes, Dr. Hoffman. Some days it's great and some days it's a pain.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so one of the, I mean, what you could absolutely use in your mouth is you can use aloe vera and get the gel, squish it around in your mouth. Also, you can use, you know, there's something where you can use coconut oil in your mouth and squish that around, you know, let it melt and swish it around. That's very soothing to the mouth. And DGL lozenges are actually very soothing and anti-inflammatory for the mouth. But it's a condition where we use higher doses of antioxidants, higher doses of vitamin D, omega-3 fatty acids, and anti-inflammatory nutrients, things like curcumin, boswellin. These are some things that can be helpful for the condition. It's also important to assess a patient for potential food allergies, because things that challenge the immune system can bring out the lichen planus, both on the surface of the body as well as in the mouth. You know, some people have it on their legs or on their torsos, and that's an uncomfortable skin condition. So
does it ever disappear?
I'm sorry. Pardon me. Yes, it can.
Does it ever disappear?
And here's another one that is. But you'd have to see a doctor about this, because I've had some success in some of my patients with lichen planus by using something called low-dose naltrexone. Naltrexone is a medication that has been used for treating drug addiction. So, you know, you're not a drug addict. You're not using heroin or cocaine. But in a low dose, it has an immune-regulating effect. And this is an immune disorder of the immune system, lichen planus. And sometimes by using low-dose naltrexone, the lesions will get under control and even disappear. So that's something that you can, most doctors are not aware of this. You can read about LDN or low-dose naltrexone on the internet. I have an article about it on drhoffman.com. And it's something that many complementary physicians are using for autoimmune conditions and inflammatory disorders. And it can be quite helpful. Ulcerative colitis, multiple sclerosis, psoriasis, and even for lichen planus. So,
Doctor, can you spell that?
Yeah, just LDN. Go to LDNinfo.com. LDN,
okay.
Low-dose naltrexone, okay? Because there's nothing that kills a radio show like a spelling bee. I've learned in my 25 years of medical broadcasting. All right, this item talks about at the end of the year, looking back on 2014, unfortunately, the lamentable state of the medical profession. And this is actually one of the top, in my opinion, one of the top stories of 2014. The medical profession's going steeply downhill, which is bad, but it also creates an opportunity for the type of medicine that I practice, which is integrative medicine, complementary medicine, because I think there are answers in terms of restoring the personal touch, the connection that is now lacking in impersonal high-tech medicine. This is an editorial it's a notable quotable in a Wall Street Journal. Joel Zinberg, MD, writes this: physicians in solo or small group private practice are being replaced by large group practices that are increasingly affiliated with or owned by hospitals. From 2004 to 2011, hospital ownership of physician practices increased from 24% to 49%, nearly half of practices now owned by hospitals. Just 39% of doctors can now be considered old-fashioned family doctors. And the primary reason, he says, for this shift is physicians need to get into lockstep compliance with expensive and burdensome government regulations, mandates, and recording requirements. In this new world, he says, patients will rarely have an exclusive relationship with a primary physician. Doctors won't be on call all the time. They'll have shifts. They'll clock in and clock out. And when the shift is done, responsibility for a patient will simply be passed on to another physician or a nurse practitioner. Now, that's better for doctors. They'll have better lifestyles. They won't be logging those crazy hours anymore, and they'll spend some time with their families and have more balanced lives. But when it comes to the patients won't have an intimate or personal connection to the doctors anymore. And when patients need hospitalization, they're what are called hospitalists. These are hospital-employed physicians that they've never met. So the doctor, you know, may go to the doctor's office. The doctor says, you got to go to the hospital. You say to your doc, well, you'll be there in the hospital to see, yeah, well, I might stop by, but actually we're going to turn you over to Dr. Smith. He is a hospitalist. Well, I've never met Dr. Smith. Well, he's never met you either, but he's got your chart. He's got your information. And that's what he does full-time. He works in the hospital. Well, full-time, he works his 40-hour week, because that's what doctors are trending towards. And handoffs will be accomplished by email or electronic sign. That's important because when you put a patient in the hospital or when you have shifts of doctors taking care of patients, it's important to have some oversight and familiarity with the patient. But the handoffs will increasingly be impersonal via email or electronic signouts. And that is going to result in poor quality care. So less opportunity to communicate the nuances of a case or some information that might come in handy about that particular patient who's in hospital. The new breed of physician employees will split their allegiances between their employers and their patients. The employer's goal, that is the hospital's, will not always coincide with the patient's best interests. It'll be about cost containment and using cheaper procedures and drugs and getting the patient out of the hospital faster. At minimum, he says, patients will wonder if their doctors are making decisions out of a genuine concern for their health or just trying to save the boss a buck. And that's where it stands as we near the end of 2014. It's a lamentable state of affairs, but, you know, that's what we wanted. We wanted medical reform. We got it, and it's not headed in the right direction, in my opinion. 888-302-3684. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
This traffic report from the bloodstream brought to you by Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Well, that inbound blood flow is really slowing down now due to plaque from cholesterol, but help's on the way from Kyolic. More than 750 peer-reviewed research studies indicate that Kyolic not only keeps circulation moving smoothly, it also helps improve a number of cardiovascular risk factors. Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is made from 100% organically grown garlic, is completely odorless, and won't upset your stomach. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Look for Kyolic at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. Help keep your system stay humming along with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract today.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh. Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shop, and other fine natural products retailers.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. 888-302-3684 to get through to the doctor's office. We got lots of calls. Christo in the Bronx. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is like, I used to stop the Crestor like 4 or 5 years. I tried to go like most natural. And then I
Wait,
see
so you were taking the medication Crestor?
No. Like four years ago, I stopped. Right now, I don't take nothing.
Oh, okay.
This is kind of the Kyolic or nothing. And I
okay.
see a little bit, the LDL is a little bit high, 157.
Yeah.
Not
okay.
really too high.
Okay.
But,
okay.
And so I need suggestion for this that use like the natural, like you always you recommend for that one.
Okay, but, sure. So, Christo, here's some recommendations so you don't need to take Crestor anymore. It's like the drug was named for you. Virtually the same. Okay, so the new, you know, as I said last hour, if any of you were with me last hour, I spoke to a caller whose husband had a heart attack, and was recommended to be on a statin, and although the LDL was low. Now, this reflects a change in the way that they're using guidelines for statin prescribing, is that they base it on the condition you have, not so much your LDL. So although your LDL is slightly high, that doesn't mean it's the crack of doom for you. Many patients I see with high LDL have perfectly pristine arteries and virtually no risk of a heart attack or stroke. So I'd have to know more about you and, you know, maybe to really determine your need to lower your cholesterol, get an EBT heart scan, which is a way to determine how much calcium is actually in the arterial wall. And if it's very low or zero, you needn't do anything to lower your cholesterol. You're virtually bulletproof. But, you know, if there's some, you need to do something. And if there's lots, well, maybe, just maybe, you might consider a statin. I'm not inalterably opposed to statins, as some complementary physicians are. What can you do? Well, you want cardiovascular prevention. Cardiovascular prevention and lowering cholesterol are two different matters. Somehow in the minds of lay people and doctors, we've made cholesterol lowering synonymous with cardiovascular prevention. And that's just one small aspect of it. You want a full, you know, like a program to reduce your risk. You want to optimize your weight. You want to optimize your blood pressure. You want to do exercise. You want to sleep adequately. You want to deal with stress. You want to reduce insulin resistance. You want to make sure that your inflammation is low. C-reactive protein is a measure of inflammation. You want to optimize your homocysteine, your LP little a. So there's a multiplicity of factors that we take into account. When it comes to cardiovascular prevention, regardless of whether these things lower cholesterol, they do protect the heart. For example, chiolic aged garlic extract, very small effect on LDL, but a major effect in terms of protecting the heart because it's anti-inflammatory, it reduces the stickiness of platelets, and it helps to dilate blood vessels. So it works in a lot of ways other than lowering cholesterol. Also, fish oil similarly has a multiplicity of effects, even if it doesn't lower the LDL, which it can. It may not necessarily, but it will reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease through a variety of mechanisms. Vitamin E. Well, the vitamin E story is not dead just because of some studies show that it's worthless in cardiovascular disease. They use the wrong type of vitamin E in many of these studies, and vitamin E has a lot of potential there. Vitamin D is helpful. Vitamin K2 is helpful. Resveratrol is helpful. There's studies showing that curcumin has anti-inflammatory effects in the arterial wall, can be very helpful. And there's even some new studies that show that omega-7 fatty acids, which are incorporated in a product called Mega-10, not Omega-10, but Mega-10. It's a product that has some omega-3 and omega-7, so 3 plus 7 equals 10. That has anti-cardiovascular disease potential. CoQ10 or ubiquinol helps prevent cardiovascular disease as well. So there are a variety of things that you can use as part of your program. It's not just a matter of lowering LDL. We've made it kind of a, you know, one-size-fits-all cookie-cutter approach. And that's pretty reductive, and that's not going to yield the best results. All right, 888-302-3684. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, special holiday edition of Intelligent Medicine.
drhoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I was pleased to see this week there was an article in the Wall Street Journal about maca. An herb called maca is from South America, and I once talked about it, and I said it's from the Amazon jungles. No, it's not. Somebody actually wrote me from Peru, which is one of the countries where they get maca from. Peru and Ecuador are sources of maca, which is actually a highland herb that is highly prized. It's kind of a South American version of ginseng. It's a tonic herb, and it increases energy. And the article talks about how there's now big demand from buyers in China. They just love this kind of stuff. They've got ginseng, and there's a big buy-in about natural herbal tonics. And in particular, they are interested in things that have aphrodisiac-like properties. They're responsible for virtually eradicating rare species of rhinoceri to get their horns and turn them into some aphrodisiac powder. And that's highly illegal. But maca has distinct aphrodisiac properties. It's mild, but it's quite interesting. A lot of women in particular say that it seems to boost their libido. A little less so for men, but maybe a more subtle herbal effect can work in women. They actually talk about the self-same product that we use at the Hoffman Center. It's, check it out at drhoffman.com. If you click on the store, you can put the term maca into the search box, and you can find it among our list of supplements. It's the product's called Feminescence Maca. It's used for treating menopause, and the studies are small but encouraging. Several studies suggest maca may help balance hormone levels in menopause, and there's also some initial studies that suggest that it may combat symptoms of depression as well as lower blood pressure. But most commonly, maca is an energy-enhancing herb, and also potentially a sexual enhancer. So I personally take maca, you know, not particularly for its aphrodisiac properties, but it's a nice stimulant herb that increases energy without making you jittery. According to Dr. Richard Brown, who's been interviewed for actually Health Talk, my previous program, I haven't had him on Intelligent Medicine yet, but I think I'll get him back on. He says, among natural therapies, he's quoted here in the Wall Street Journal, quote, maca is the only thing I know that works reliably on libido. That is among natural therapies, says Richard Brown. He's associate clinical professor of psychiatry at Columbia University in New York, and he's most famous for his work on SAMe. He wrote the book The SAMe Miracle and specializes in complementary and alternative medicine. He says it's particularly helpful in patients who have sexual dysfunction caused by antidepressant medications. So many women, you know, they now say that approximately a quarter of women, adult women, are on antidepressants. And one of the major side effects, especially for women, of these SSRI medications, you know, Paxil and Prozac and medications like that, Zoloft, is while they do reduce anxiety and relieve depression to some extent, they virtually kill your sexual desire. And so if you need to be on such a medication, you might consider maca as at least to partially alleviate that sex-robbing side effect of the antidepressants. All right, let's talk to some of our callers. Let's talk to Lisa. Welcome. How are you doing? Hello, Lisa.
Yes. Hi, doctor.
Yep.
I'm calling about a sty that I had in the eye, and now it's when I wake up in the morning, my eye takes a few seconds to open them. Like I'm trying to open them, and
it's sort of sticky, and it's kind of stuck shut. Yeah. Okay. So what a sty is, you know, basically it's an infection in the eyelid, and it's accumulation of pus, and maybe some of the pus is actually draining onto the surface of your eye. And sometimes this is amenable to self-care. In the past, you know, they would say, oh, you know, just get some boric acid USP from a pharmacy and make some warm compresses, not hot compresses, and, you know, apply that to the eye. And usually it's a self-limited problem. But you better be careful, because sometimes this demands medical attention, because it can be very dangerous. It can actually spread to the orbit of the eye. It can even go into, you know, areas adjacent to the brain, you know, very serious complications of that. So just make sure it's moving in the right direction. You can just do, you know, topical applications of warm compresses of boric acid, but very low threshold for visiting. You know, I know it's a holiday weekend, but, you know, maybe visit, you know, an eye, ear clinic, or you know, a so-called, we call them doc in the boxes, you know, these 24-hour medical centers that offer outpatient care, and they're virtually manned, you know, unlike doctor's offices, they're meeting the demand for care on weekends and holidays when patients prefer not go to the emergency room, which is usually a nightmare, long waits and you know, poor quality care, and sometimes you get stuck with a big bill. All right, let's talk to Lorraine. Lorraine, you've been waiting a long time. Lorraine's from Huntington, New York. How you doing?
Yes, Dr. Hoffman. I'm 80 years old, and I have an iron level of 27.
and I was told it should be 50, mm-hmm. but I have taken 65 milligrams of iron daily for the past year, but I'm still short of breath and very tired. What could you suggest?
Okay, so your iron level, you say, or is it your ferritin level? Your iron level is 27.
Well, they said the iron level. They said the CBC was good. That was 13.5.
So let's discuss iron deficiency for a minute. There's three stages of iron deficiency. The worst is when your CBC is low, your red blood cell count is low, and that's anemia. That's true anemia. The second worst, it seems like that's where you're at, is that the iron count is a little bit low. Actually, 27, in my opinion, is the low range of normal. That should be okay. And your CBC is normal, but your ferritin is low. So you have low ferritin, low iron, and a normal CBC. And then the most minor or mild kind of low iron is when just your ferritin is low, but your iron saturation is okay. I can't tell whether you're telling me about your ferritin or whether you're telling me about your iron. If 27 is not that low, and it does not probably account for your fatigue and your shortness of breath. So, you know, I think you're maybe barking up the wrong tree by trying to load yourself up with iron. Admittedly, your iron is a little bit low, and that sometimes occurs with aging. You have a little bit of malabsorption. Presumably you're eating iron. You're having red meat, and you're having dark meat poultry and dark
liver,
meat fish.
Yes,
liver.
And
you're
liver.
You're really trying to stoke up your iron. But sometimes,
yeah.
You know, the 80-year-old body is a little less efficient at absorbing iron. You know, the other thing you got to make sure of is if indeed you know, probably not with your minor borderline low iron, but if you definitely have low iron, you have to undertake sometimes a GI workup to make sure you're not having gastrointestinal bleeding. You have to, you know, just not just take iron pills, but just, you know, go to the source. A lot of people just say, well, I'll just take iron pills. Well, okay, yeah, but if taking iron pills is like trying to fill a bucket that's got a hole in it, you know, it's like you can fill it with water, but what you really should do is fix the hole. If you have gastrointestinal bleeding from the stomach or, you know, God forbid, an intestinal tumor, that needs to be checked out. That's sometimes how colon cancer announces itself. But I think something's missing from this equation, because 27, that's not that low. It shouldn't make you tired. I think there are other reasons. There's a multiplicity of reasons why 80-year-olds could be tired and have shortness of breath. I'm not sure that slightly low iron is responsible. And I would do a workup to, you know, check out other things, you know, whether you have certain vitamin deficiencies, whether your thyroid is low, whether you have, some type of, if you had your heart checked out, are you getting echocardiograms or, you know, a checkout to make sure that you don't have a heart valve problem that's causing you to be short of breath? Has that been done?
No.
So then I think you need to pursue it further. I don't think it's just a matter of, taking pills to fix the problem. Perhaps there's some underlying problem that needs to be investigated. All right. All right. Let's talk to Susan. Hey, Susan, how you doing? Susan's been waiting a long time.
Yes, doctor. Thank you. A relative of mine was losing her balance. She felt like she was going to fall forward, and she went to a doctor, and they checked her out somehow, and they said she had water on the brain.
Okay, so just let me pause for a moment. You know, the vast majority of people who lose their balance, feel dizzy, you know, they can do a million tests. They'll never figure out what it is, because sometimes as people age, you know, they feel a little weak, a little dizzy. Maybe it's, the blood pressure medication they're taking. But, you know, it's very hard to pin down. In this case, they found something specific, so that actually is good. Only about 10% of cases can actually determine the cause of the dizziness.
Yes.
So
they wanted to do a spinal tap, but she doesn't want to do that. She's been going for physical therapy.
But so she has water in the brain, and she, that's a condition called hydrocephalus. And physical therapy isn't going to fix that. I'm not sure if the water in the brain has anything to do with the dizziness. Physical therapy can certainly help with dizziness. I encourage all my patients who have dizziness to undergo what's actually called vestibular rehab, which is a type of physical therapy that helps you orient yourself with position change and in space. And you know who invented that? It's amazing. Dr. Ronald Hoffman invented that therapy. But it's not me. There's a doctor colleague of mine with an identical name, but it's Ronald A. Hoffman. He's a very esteemed ear, nose, and throat specialist who I met while I was in training here in New York. And we faced each other, and I said, you know, I'm going to go into medicine, and I have the same name as you, and that's going to create a lot of confusion. And he just looked at me. And he's a nice guy. I've talked to him, actually interviewed him on my program since. And so vestibular rehab involves, you know, learning how to change position and getting used to position change. But if, you know, it's unclear whether this, the finding of this hydrocephalus, which is water in the brain, which is it's a relatively common finding in older individuals. And sometimes it's benign. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't have to be dealt with. But the spinal tap will tell us if that water on the brain or that hydrocephalus is creating pressure on the brain that could cause symptoms. It can make you dizzy. It can make you throw up, nauseous. And, you know, a spinal tap is not something you want to undertake casually. But it, I think it's important to find out if there's high pressure in the spinal canal, which reflects the pressure that the water may be exerting on the brain. Yes. And causing symptoms. So, you know, if it's not alleviated by simple physical therapy and it's bothersome, I would heed the doctor's advice. All right?
I see. Okay. Thank you, doctor.
All right. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and you're listening to a special holiday edition of the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
A regular dose of Intelligent Medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Let's talk to Richard in Long Island. How are you doing, Richard?
Hi, Dr. Hoffman.
Hi.
A family relative that came has this autoimmune disease called bullous pemphigoid.
Yeah. That's for listening audience. That's is a really terrible condition because blisters form all over your body and sometimes in your mouth, and it's extraordinarily painful. Make it difficult to eat, difficult to move. The blisters. It's like almost as if you got dropped in a scalding pot of water. And it's a mysterious condition, and there's no conventional treatment except for steroids. And, you know, there's actually a, it's one of these diseases that's in search of a cure. In terms of, you know, I got to say, there's no magic bullet treatment for it in either conventional medicine or in natural medicine. But of interest is that a B vitamin, niacinamide, seems to help this condition. And it's actually known to dermatologists. They will sometimes tell patients to take niacinamide, 500 milligrams three times daily, along with an antibiotic, a low-dose antibiotic, tetracycline. And tetracycline not only kills germs, it has a bit of an anti-inflammatory effect. It seems to put the brakes on pemphigoid. It doesn't cure it, but it helps it a little bit, makes it possible for patients to be on lower doses of steroids, which can be devastating over time. But I got to say, it's not a quick-fix condition. And, you know, with, in working with a patient like this, we might want to support them nutritionally and make sure that they're taking all the right vitamins. And they might be a healthier person with a milder case of pemphigoid, but it's not going to make that condition disappear utterly. Okay.
Do you think that this is, I mean, I've read a little bit about it. They said it affects people in their 60s.
Mm-hmm, it can, but it can actually occur in babies as well.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's just the autoimmune.
Mm-hmm. And it's mysterious. There's a genetic component, but something switches on the system, turns on that autoimmune response. And there are various subcategories of it. Some are very hereditary and some are less so. So it's a nasty condition, and it's, you know, we hope that research will yield a cure. The problem is it's not that common a condition. There's a lot more research dollars going into breast cancer, prostate cancer, the big diseases, and this is kind of an orphan disease. But it afflicts thousands and thousands of Americans. It's a terrible condition.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right. All right. This item comes to us from my good colleague, Dr. Alan Gaby. Every month he publishes in the Townsend Letter. I recommend it highly if you're a nutrition aficionado or a health practitioner, a literature review and commentary about the use of various supplements for various conditions. And I got a lot of important tips from him. He was very instrumental in helping me learn about complementary medicine when I got started 25, 30 years ago. This comes to us from the International Journal of Women's Health, a condition very, very common, uterine fibroids, and a supplement that is commonly available appears to help women suffering from uterine fibroids. That supplement is EGCG. In the study, small study, admittedly, 39 Egyptian women of reproductive age, around 42, had uterine fibroids. They were given either a placebo or EGCG. EGCG is the active principle in green tea. And relatively small amounts, just 800 milligrams per day of green tea extract. That isn't even as strong or concentrated as the EGCG that I make, EGCG Ultra. Check out drhoffman.com because that's a good source of high-quality EGCG. What they found was that the mean total fibroid volume decreased in the EGCG group by 32.5%, but it increased in the placebo group by 24%. So that means that adds up to about a 50% improvement. Not only did it prevent the growth of the fibroids, it actually reduced the size of the fibroids. So women who suffer from heavy menstrual bleeding have been told they have fibroids. EGCG should be part of your regimen along with other supplements. All right, this one, while we're talking about women's reproductive health, endometriosis. That's a serious condition that can cause a lot of pain, that can interfere with fertility, and sometimes necessitates a hysterectomy. Pelvic pain, painful intercourse, infertility, horrible periods. The cause of endometriosis is unknown, but a nutritional supplement familiar to us all can be beneficial in endometriosis. They gave 10 milligrams of melatonin. That's a little higher than you use for sleep. But for cancer, we use even more. We use 20 milligrams of melatonin for certain cancers that respond to melatonin. 10 milligrams of melatonin placebo was given to these women at bedtime. And compared with placebo, melatonin significantly decreased scores for daily pain by 40%. I'll take that. Painful periods by 38%. Reduced constipation, which, by the way, is a big problem in a lot of women with endometriosis. And it improves sleep quality, which is an added benefit. So what's doing it? Well, melatonin has anti-inflammatory properties, and endometriosis is a serious inflammatory disease. So EGCG for fibroids, melatonin for endometriosis, the potential of natural medicine for treating gynecological problems is very great. And we thank Dr. Gaby for his important contributions to this field and his research. Thank you very much for joining us. Have yourselves a great holiday, belated Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah and a Happy New Year coming up. We'll be on next week live to answer your questions. So join us. Check out drhoffman.com for suggestions about your healthy New Year's resolutions. I'm Dr. Hoffman. Have a great week.